Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now, our guest is Eric Scheidler, a returning guest. He's the head of the Pro-Life Action League. And in 2012, he helped organize a coalition of a lot of pro-life people who were upset about the HHS mandate. And just recently, on October 6th, 2017, the Trump administration reversed the HHS mandate. So first, Eric, let me just say welcome back to the program. It's so great to have you on again.
Oh, I'm great. It's great to be with you, especially to celebrate such an important victory for our movement and for our faith.
You know, I get to interview and talk with a lot of pro-lifers, and I'm not just, you know, yanking your chain here. Honestly, you are so well informed on the issue in general, but I think you know more about Planned Parenthood than anybody else. Now, Planned Parenthood is more indirect in this particular story, but let's set things back up and talk about what really was the HHS mandate, and I know it was a part of Obamacare.
Yeah, well, you know, and Planned Parenthood actually was very heavily involved with the implementation of this policy. So the HHS mandate, as we've been calling it these past 5 years, was implemented under the Affordable Care Act, which may be better known to your listeners as Obamacare. Obamacare includes a provision that requires insurance plans to provide certain preventive services free of charge. Now, this is, in principle, a pretty good thing. I mean, if you're an insurer, it makes sense to offer preventive services so people don't get a disease or have a condition worsen, to cut something off before it gets worse. So such preventive services would include, for example, a regular annual checkup with your physician. And I can remember, you know, going for a checkup shortly after the ACA had been implemented and paying a copay like I usually do, and then having that check sent back to me because those kinds of wellness visits are no longer require a copay from the person who's insured. So it's a good idea in principle, but one of the things included as a preventive service under this provision of Obamacare was contraception. And there was a panel that was set up to decide what kind of services there should be, and this panel included many people that had very close ties to Planned Parenthood or even served on Planned Parenthood boards. So it was a very biased group, a group that had very much a pro-abortion and, kind of sexual license kind of an agenda. And they decided that contraception would be considered a preventive service. And when this was announced way back in 2011, I immediately objected to it because it struck me that it was treating fertility like it was some kind of a medical condition that needed to be treated, as if a woman's natural capacity to bear children was somehow a disease or a condition, a syndrome of some kind. It was treating pregnancy like a disease. You know, what does contraception prevent? It prevents pregnancy. So wellness visits prevent all kinds of things, cancer and back problems and all kinds of things like that. Contraception only prevents pregnancy. It's really not used for a medical reason. Even though it may be prescribed by a medical doctor and may involve medicine, the reasons a woman takes contraception are because she doesn't want children at that time, which is a postponed pregnancy or never have kids. So it's a social reason. It's a personal reason, not a medical reason. Why disrupt a perfectly healthy functioning system of the body? Contraceptives are the only, you know, quote-unquote medicines that do that, that are designed to stop the body from doing what it naturally, healthfully does. And after all, fertility is a marker of health. So we objected to the HHS mandate on that grounds right from the beginning. But then later we found that employers who have religious and moral objections to this would, for the most part, not be allowed to opt out of it. Only with very limited circumstances, you know, places of worship and the like, would employers be allowed to say, look, we don't want to have anything to do with providing contraception. It's not a true medical service. We don't want to be involved with this. We have an objection to it. And so that's the HHS mandate that we've been fighting all of these years, that forces religious employers like the owners of Hobby Lobby, like the Little Sisters of the Poor that have been fighting their lawsuit not to provide these services, like the University of Notre Dame and others. So that's the kind of backstory behind this. And Planned Parenthood really was very closely involved with implementing it and then fighting us on this over the years.
Yeah, and Wheaton College and Tyndale Publishers and
right.
Liberty University. And so it really was a coalition of evangelicals and Catholics working on this. But let me just say one thing real fast. If you remember, back in March of 2010, there was a last obstacle for the acceptance of the Affordable Care Act, you know, Obamacare, really. It's not so affordable, by the way, when people actually talk about their deductibles and they talk about how much they have to pay for insurance. But that's another story. Okay, so anyway, the last obstacle for passage was that there was a coalition led by Bart Stupak, former congressman from Michigan, of pro-life Democrats. Now, nowadays, that almost sounds like an oxymoron, pro-life Democrats. But anyway, they said, we want guarantees, Mr. President, that there'll be no pro-abortion factor to Obamacare, to the Affordable Care Act. And he put it in writing. Remember that? He being Obama put it in writing in an executive order, and that was good enough for Bart Stupak. And so they passed the Affordable Care Act. Then you fast forward not even that many years later, and you get this HHS mandate. And some of the contraceptives you were just talking about include, as you mentioned, a handful, I think it's about four of them, abortifacients. In other words, abortion-inducing drugs. Isn't an abortion-inducing drug essentially a form of abortion?
Well, it's very complicated when you get into the types of IUD formulations and pills, morning after pills, that might induce abortion, because we don't really have very strong evidence of how likely that is to happen. This is an effect that these types of devices can have, according to what we know about how they work, but they're distinct from, say, RU486, which is deliberately designed to be an abortion pill. Once you know you're pregnant, you take it, and it causes the embryo to be expelled to die. So one of the points of contention before the Supreme Court in the Hobby Lobby case was they're making the case that, look, we think there's strong enough evidence that these kinds of things can lead to an early abortion that we don't want to have anything to do with providing these to our employees. So it's a challenging kind of an area, because these aren't explicitly abortion drugs, but there's a strong potential they could cause an early abortion. And there's some different ideas about which particular pills and which IUD devices and the like would do that. So I'm not sure that had the Stupak group actually succeeded in protecting unborn children from the Affordable Care Act, if this would have been an area that would have covered. That's a little bit hard to say.
Okay.
But the sad part of it all is that Bart Stupak really was snookered by the Obama administration when he agreed to that kind of compromise, because the executive order that Obama signed never had any force in law. We've seen that abortion has been included in health plans all over the country. It's been very difficult for people to find out whether the plan they're looking at even does or does not include abortion, and that was deliberate. The way the bill was written was to make it very difficult for you to even know if the plan you were buying into included abortion coverage and those kinds of things. So, shame on Bart Stupak for falling for it, but kudos to some of the few remaining pro-life Democrats, like Congressman Dan Lipinski, who did not go along with that compromise and continue to hold out for a truly pro-life bill, which of course we did not get.
By the way, is Lipinski still in the House?
Yes, he is. Actually, I went to high school with Dan
and Bart, because Bart Stupak is not.
No, Bart Stupak was ousted in his home district, rightfully so. But I'm glad that Dan is still there fighting a good fight. He was one of only, I think, three or four Democratic congressmen who voted for the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which Congress has also just passed and sent on to the Senate.
Wow. And this is somebody you knew back in high school, you were saying?
Oh, yeah. We've friends going back to the 80s.
Okay. Wow. Okay, let's go back to the Little Sisters of the Poor. I think this is an amazing thing. I think if the media were a little bit more fair, and I do mean the mainstream media, okay, if the mainstream media were a little bit more fair, when President Obama, the leader of the free world, actually took the full force of the United States government to come down hard on a group of nuns who devote themselves to Jesus Christ, and specifically to helping poor people, indigent people, as they are dying, and showing this love to them, providing a service, actually probably saves the taxpayers millions of dollars. And anyway, but he came down hard on them because they didn't agree to go along with the contraceptives because that was against their faith. And so this is a story that I think people need to realize. I mean, talk about bullies and bullying. I think the president, that's one of the low marks of the Obama administration.
Yeah, I think it was very foolish on their part to take on that particular fight because, I mean, who is more sympathetic than a bunch of nuns who take care of the elderly poor? I mean, it's hard to find a more perfect plaintiff to go after this kind of government encroachment on freedom of religion. I'm just really grateful that the sisters have finally been let off the hook here after so many years of fighting. It's been my great honor to stand with them and to we've held prayer vigils out in front of Little Sisters locations around the country during the course of this case as it was moving forward in the courts. So, I mean, a very foolish move on the part of the Obama administration and, you know, really showed them to be extremely radical. But what else could they do? You know, they were all in for Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry from day one. And really, the abortion industry was the only constituency that the Obama administration never disappointed. They always gave them everything they wanted to, even so far as to go after this group of selfless, sacrificing nuns dedicated to caring for the poor.
Okay, so now what happens with the HHS mandate? I mean, it's over, or that's it, or what?
Well, we have to see how these specific rules get implemented as far as overturning these cases. It's not, you know, when you've got a case in front of the court, there's a process where it actually has to be, settled and put to rest. So groups like the Beckett Fund that have been fighting this case and Alliance Defending Freedom and other of the pro-life law groups out there, they will be working hard to bring all of these cases that are still out there to a final conclusion. And then it's just a question of religious employers going ahead and taking advantage of this ability not to be involved in the provision of contraception. I'm sure there are very, very many of them who, for whatever reason, decided they didn't want to take on a lawsuit. They didn't have the means or the time, or maybe they weren't even aware that it was a possibility. So I hope this will mean that more employers will choose not to be involved in, providing what really is not medical care. Contraception, which really is only intended to prevent pregnancy. It's not really treating a medical condition. You know, the ability to get pregnant is not a disease. So we're hopeful that that will happen. I would like to see the entire HHS mandate rolled back because, as I said, it's contradicting the very idea of preventive service. I mean, this is it's healthy to be able to have a baby. If you want to use contraception, that's your choice. You shouldn't be forcing employers to pay for it or treating fertility as if it's inherently some kind of a syndrome or condition.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, this is a different issue, but I must ask you this because you are so well informed about all these different things. You were saying earlier that, you know, fertility is a sign of health, and then interrupting that process can be unhealthy. It is not reported in American medical journals, to my knowledge, to my understanding, that there is a link between abortion and breast cancer. But it's my understanding that in other countries, even Great Britain, which is not, conservative at this point, that they allow Lancet articles or whatever, their medical journal articles, to talk about potential correlations between abortion and breast cancer. And to me, this is a big deal because breast cancer is an obvious killer. Is there a link?
Absolutely, and it's maddening that
this is politically incorrect. What you're saying?
Yeah, we keep hearing that somehow abortion. If you know anything about how the tissue of the breast develops, and I'm not a medical doctor, but I have looked very closely at this and spoken to people who are extremely well informed about it. The tissue of the breast actually doesn't fully mature until a woman has her first pregnancy, and it's during that time that a very rapid period of growth happens in the breast tissue as the mother's preparing to be able to nurse that child. When she has a miscarriage, that process sort of reverses itself naturally. But when you suddenly have an abortion come and stop pregnancy very violently, the tissues continue to grow towards the pregnancy and are confused by the lack of hormones all of a sudden that the abortion causes. And it sets up the conditions where cancerous cells would grow. Rapid growth, that's what cancer is, rapid growth of cells. And that can get out of whack. So there's strong evidence, even the World Health Organization recognizes that the birth control pill and abortion can lead to this increase in breast cancer. Here in the United States, a group of physicians looked at the studies and declared that there was no connection. They didn't show that there wasn't. They didn't prove that there wasn't. They just decided they were going to declare there was no connection, and that's what keeps getting reported in the media. The opinion, not even opinion, it's really just the declaration of a group of physicians, not an actual study. They present it as if a study was done and we've proven that this isn't true, and it's that's just not the case.
Wow. Well, we're out of time, but people can get more information at prolifeaction.org. Thank you, Eric Scheidler, for being with us. All the best, sir.
And to you, too, and all your listeners. God bless.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.